name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, if you're like me, every year at this time, it's almost like you're waiting for a big trip. You're anticipating an exciting movement. And I don't believe that even as I was growing up in the church, I could ever prepare myself fully for this time and appreciate it fully. Every year it seems to be more and more of a richness and more of a fullness of what actually happens as we have moved so very close to Christmas, so very close to the joy of the Nativity, and then to Passion Sunday and to Palm Sunday, and always amazed that here in the period of just a few days, we have moved from our Lord entering triumphantly into Jerusalem and the people laying palm leaves and their cloaks down for the colt that he was riding upon to walk on, for everything to seem like it was going so well, to move from that to this night is an amazing, amazing thing. And at the center of that is not only our Lord, who we of course have to remember, and the two things that he instituted this night, two examples that we are to follow. The first is, of course, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, where he handed down to his disciples. And what we, as we heard in the epistle of St. Paul saying, this is what we should do as oft as we are to do it, as oft as we get together to do this in remembrance. As we take the body and as we take the blood, and that works a renewing work within us and creates in us and molds us and shapes us more and more and more each and every time we are able to reach and take that life-sustaining food. But he also instituted a perfect example of agape love, of washing the disciples' feet, all of the disciples' feet. Only the Gospel of John includes this little portion to it, of Jesus getting down and washing the disciples' feet. That institution of where it says, as the interaction between our Lord and St. Peter, where St. Peter says, there's no way that I'm going to let you wash my feet. And we understand Peter. I do. I completely understand where Peter is coming from. Of someone as important as Jesus stoops to wash his feet. Now for us, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, we are used to, we've got shoes on, and if we were to wash one another's feet, well, we would just take our shoes off. It'd be a little, you know, maybe a little humbling, but not that big of a deal. However, in a time way before pavement, in a time way before shoes, washing the feet was a very humbling and very humiliating thing. And our Lord shows that we should not put ourselves above anything to the care of one another. There is nothing above below us. This is the love that we should show to one another. Our Lord is about to endure the humiliation of the cross. So once again, he shows us the great love that he has for us. There's another character in this story that I want to focus on just a little bit, that I want us to meditate on, because I believe there is a warning for us in this character that we often overlook. That's the character of Judas Iscariot. Such an enigma. Someone who is there. Someone who is chosen by our Lord to be an apostle. Someone who heard every teaching of Jesus. Someone who was in the inner circle. Someone who listened to him explain the parables. Someone who seemingly understood. And yet, is willing to betray. And often the question comes up is why? what, if we could ask, what went on in Judas's mind that he was willing to betray our Lord? Can we dismiss it as just, well, he was evil? Well, if we do that, then I'm sure there were other people that our Lord could have chosen. What was going on? If you remember the Passion Gospel that we read last Sunday, Judas tried to give the money back. So even within the context of the story, we have a problem, because if he was just evil, well, then he takes the 30 pieces of silver and goes off and buys whatever he has to. But it says, very specifically, when he realized that our Lord was taken into custody, he tried to undo what he had done and was unable to. Judas sees the crowd. Judas understands the palms. Judas has the hope because of his upbringing, because of the groups he belonged to. Judas, his whole hope in his heart was that our Lord was going to overthrow the Romans and they would rule and Israel would once again be under complete and total autonomous rule and Rome would be gone. And he saw our Lord as the Messiah that was promised for that. And his hopes were built up on Palm Sunday. Surely this is the time for Jerusalem to revolt, for Jerusalem to usher in the promise. Now, as you read, not just the Passion Gospels, but what takes place from Palm Sunday until today, it includes the clearing of the temple. It includes several arguments with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Suddenly Judas realizes Jesus is not willing to do this on his own. And so Judas, in very human fashion, says, perhaps our Lord needs a little push. And he devises a scheme in his mind. He remembers Palm Sunday. He remembers how happy everything was. He has seen public trials before. He knows that our Lord must go before the people if he was to be tried and arrested. So he develops a scheme. This is what I'll do. I will betray him, and surely when the people see the scribes and the Pharisees arresting Jesus, they'll revolt against everybody. Because the group that Judas belonged to didn't like the scribes and the Pharisees any more than they liked the Romans, because they saw him in cahoots together. And he said, surely this will get rid of both of them. It'll get rid of the evil religious leaders. It'll get rid of Rome. And we can do what God is calling us to do. Right there at the end. Right there at the end. Jesus is not going to be, his hand's not going to be forced. And he willingly goes to the cross. Because our Lord came to save Judas for something far deeper than even Judas understood. And it was not the slavery of Rome. It was the slavery of sin. Judas couldn't see it. Incidentally, Judas is not the only person to betray our Lord during this time. Before the cock crows three times this evening, Peter will deny him as well. And yet, on Easter Sunday morning, Peter is there listening, and Judas is not. Peter had at least heard enough to hear forgiveness. So as we stand here on Maundy Thursday, there are a couple of options that we have. Many times, we can all be like Judas. We can get our wants and desires so far ahead of our Lord that we use Him as a battering ram. And we use Him for our purposes. We, for the lack of a better term, proof text our life. We have a cause that we want to fight, and we find Scripture that will support it. We need to remember that our Lord calls us to something deeper. And if what we are involved in does not involve getting to the heart of offering forgiveness, and of offering peace, and of offering the gospel to people, it's not our Lord's call. It's our call. So even today, we need to be very careful that we are not Judases ourselves. That we do not betray our Lord by copting Him into our own schemes and our own plans. But we also need to be careful that we're not like Simon as well. And when the going gets rough and the going gets tough, and people say, "Hey, aren't you one of His followers?" I don't even know who He is. And as you read, Peter gets very... He swears, "I swear I've never heard this man." Do that as well. And if we were honest, during the times in the remainder of the service that call us to be silent, that call us to be reflective, if we took those times and called to the mind, we could say that we have been in one of those two camps probably more often than we would like to admit. So how do we respond? We must respond like Peter. We can't respond like Judas. We can't undo it on our side. We can't, working on our own, got us in this problem in the first place. We can't try to undo it. We have to go like Peter. Fall down at the feet of the Master and ask for forgiveness. And hear the words that He says. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Forgiveness is given. Restoration is complete. The story of this time. The story of this season. That we can all approach. Once again, be brought back into the fold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.